B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. All right, a couple things you need to know off the top. One, the NHL hub cities looks like Edmonton and Toronto. That's a good sign. They're going to be in Canada. Let them be sequestered in Canada. And let's go. Give me some hockey. If I got hockey and NBA, NHL NBA, I'm happy. I know this is heresy, but do you give me the odds right now that they play baseball?
They're playing.
You say that, really?
Yes.
You think they play?
Yes, I think they play. I don't think it's going to get shut down.
All right. Traveling, hotels?
Yeah, they'll play.
You know,
they finish? I don't know.
Do you have bubble cities and you got bubble? Well, that's like how soon until, God forbid, like, and it's scary. The numbers are scary out there.
Yeah. Yeah, they're terrifying. I think they play. I don't know if they finish.
It's like we have these parallel worlds, right? We were so cooped up for months beginning in March that we were like, it's over. Except it's not over. And all you read about is the case is going. And you go, well, how in the world are they going to play baseball, jump on a plane? And that brings us back to football. And I know, and if you're a Eagles season ticket holder, please chime in here. And what is it going to do to you? But I don't see there's no way in the world are they going to be able to have fans in games. And I'm hoping against all hope that we can do it because we have our Philly sports trips. We want to go to San Francisco and Green Bay. But I just don't see how that's going to happen. And then the other thing, even if you get a few people in, there's going to be no tailgating. The tailgate's done, don't you think?
What if there are fans?
Yeah.
Yeah, they I don't know how they stop it. Hey, games at 1, you can't show up till 12:30? Would they make a rule like that?
No, just say no tailgating. They can stop people from tailgating once you're in the parking lot. No, there's no tailgating. I mean, I know I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but this is just, you know, you got to expect it. I got news for you. I think the Eagles are preparing for no fans. And I think, of course, they realize, and that's a good franchise. Like, they realize how important they are to the community.
Yes. Yes, they do.
I mean, from Don Smolenski to president to Howie to all the people that run that franchise, I give them loads of credit that they understand their place in Philadelphia, in the community. They're really Jeffrey Lurie on down. They are well run. It's a business is a business, but I believe they're cognizant of the community, and I believe that they appreciate their standing in the community. I do think we have a really good four organizations when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
Five of the union, because they believe it too. And I like those. Not just because of the home team, but I would say it if I thought they shirked their responsibility, but I don't think so.
Look at how the New York Knicks are run. Right. It's a disaster with Dolan.
But when it comes down to it, when it comes down to understanding who, you know, what their lot is, I think they all get it. Knicks, I mean, that's just because Dolan's a dope. Now, we'll see. There's new chains there. We got our man Worldwide West.
Yes.
In the fold, running things. So that's a good thing. All right, anyway, get back to the conversation. The old school versus the new school. And I'm curious where you line up with today's game. Like, I got one guy, Toots the Intelligent Sports Fan, who you know, says, I won't watch an NBA regular season game.
Really?
He does that. Anytime we're talking about it on the group text, he sends over the vomit emoji.
Does he put the green the do not disturb on his settings?
No, he does the green guy. He's a green guy vom emoji.
Wow, I can't believe he's anti-regular season NBA. I get it, the playoffs are far better. And the purity of basketball, as we talked about yesterday, is seen more in the playoffs. But it's still an exciting product. You get Lakers, Clippers, you tell me he's not watching?
He's not watching. Not watching any regular season NBA. And I still get that. Oh, how could you watch that? I get the anti-NBA crowd is a loud. They might be the minority, but they're a loud crowd. And they go back to, it's not 80s, 90s ball. That's that crowd. That's the Tooch crowd. The Tooch crowd is the, that's not 80s, 90s. When ball was ball.
Yeah.
Now, me, I us. We're in on any TNT game. I hate the Rockets, but I watch.
You're going to watch.
I watch, you know. If I'm home and there's an NBA game on, there's a great chance it's on. I'm watching it.
Especially coming up next month.
Oh, the devil. Well, that's a definite.
You're gonna hide the remote, right? You're gonna put on whatever NBA channel's on and just hide the remote. Cannot turn.
You know what drives me nuts? So the boys have their room, like the playroom. They have the PS4 in there, and they can watch their movies and stuff. But they want the living room television. So they want to commandeer both TVs. My wife's upstairs.
Yeah.
They want both downstairs televisions. I'm like, yo, dude, you got a room in there. Because, you know, who wants, Andy doesn't want to watch it. Mossy will watch it, but he's only watching it to play me for treats.
Yeah, of course.
You know what the best is? This is what you got to look forward to. So they were bad yesterday. They were fighting and they were out of control. So this was a flashback to my own youth. When your father gets home, right? So I pull up. And out of the window, Mosmo says, I'm sorry, Daddy. I love you. I didn't say a word yet. But they knew they were in trouble.
Right away, melts your heart. And you're like, oh, man.
And this is how they try to manipulate you and play you, right? So their punishment was they were not allowed to watch TV. No iPad, no TV, nothing, right, for the rest of the night. So I walk in, and Mosmo creates, he does these little books. And it's like, he draws a picture of me and him, and it's, I love you, Daddy.
Oh, my God.
Hearts. And it's, listen, I save them. They're on my desk, and I keep them all, right? But now, again, he's trying to manipulate me. So then, later on, I make him dinner. We have a little dinner. And he says to me, Daddy, what do you say we watch one of our movies? What do you want to watch? Rudy? You want to watch Remember the Titans? I go, Dad, you're not allowed to watch TV. Yeah, but you can watch TV and I can be in the room.
Nice, smart kid.
I go, dude, you're not allowed to watch TV. And then he hits me with, but you're the boss, Daddy. I'm like, whoa. And meanwhile, I go, yeah, I'm far from the boss.
Exactly right.
I far from the boss. He's like, you're the boss, man. You're the boss, Daddy. And I was like, dude, tell your mother. Go tell your mother what you just told me. And then see what she says.
That's awesome.
Can you imagine that? They try to get you. Raja, that's a great name. That's another great name. Raja in Fishtown, Raja Bell. What's going on, man?
Yo, man. I'm on the turnpike heading out to Kentucky right now.
K- Kentucky. What are you going to be doing in Kentucky?
That's my alma mater. That's my home. Mom lives out there. A little 4th of July. Go back in nostalgia. Kick it with the fam.
Aw, it's dynamite, brother.
So this old school game. I'm 29. I got six season tickets. And what I watch for are the rules changes. Like in the paint, back to the basket, how there used to be zone defense rules, and how the athleticism, the skill, the coaching, it all adapts and it ebbs and flows. You got the ball moving errors, you got the isolation, and it goes back to ball moving. You know, it's like cyclical.
What do you prefer?
I prefer the ball movement a lot. So I consider this age a little bit more ball stopping with the last two finals and playoffs. But in general, the whole 2010s have been way better basketball than the 2000s for me, because the ball gets moved around. You know, you see action. You see the elevator screens that Golden State uses to free up the shooters. Like, that's good basketball.
But does the three, does that get old to you? Like, just bombing away without any strategy other than pick and pop?
You know, it gets real old, real quick. That Houston, 1-for-27.
Right.
When they went from three. That was terrible.
Right.
But it's like the coaching. That's the most important thing. The coaching, that's the best thing, too. You know, it's real neat, though, how the rules get changed because of how good some players are. You know what I mean? Or how the coaches can manipulate it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It's such an interesting thing. Now, could you watch an old game, an old basketball game?
So I've been watching quite a few during this quarantine season, and it takes a lot more patience to watch it, honestly, for me. But it's because I like going to the games as much as I can, because I think basketball is more like hockey. You know, you want to see the whole global view from a little bit above, you know, or if you're down real close, you want to see it, how high they jump, how quick they go, you know?
Yes, yes.
So when you watch the old games, it's like, I've never seen an old game, so it takes a lot more patience, and I got to pay a lot more attention.
That's a great point. Listen, Raja, be safe driving out there, okay?
And enjoy. Hey, real quick.
Yes.
Play the song. Play the song,
brother! The song, Andrew! Yeah, Raja! Raja Bell! How about Raja gonna play the song, Judas? I love that. Isn't that cool?
It's cool. Speaking of play the song.
Everybody.
From The Athletic, they did an anonymous NBA coaches poll for the best defenders in the NBA. Ben Simmons makes your starting five all defensive first team.
Really?
Now, so this is not the official, you know, vote. But they had Ben Simmons, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Smart, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Rudy Gobert.
Wow.
Simmons with the least amount of votes out of that five.
So I got to read. Speaking of Ben, I got to read this to you. You ready? This is unbelievable. This is from Tasty Cake. You ready? So this guy comes up to me at Wawa and says, "You're Tasty Cake Dom." He said, "I love Cousin Chunis." And then he says, "But I feel bad for those guys. And I feel bad for you." And Tasty Cake goes, "Why?" And he goes, "You guys have such faith in Ben Simmons and defend him always, and he will forever disappoint you. He doesn't have it." Capital
I love that.
I
love the it factor.
He's the Bobby Hoying of basketball.
So we figured this out in 2.5 seasons. We figured this out in 2.5 seasons that Ben Simmons doesn't have it. Come on. It drives me insane. The certainties. Oh, Benson sucks. He doesn't have it. Oh, he's just a stat padder. He had fake triple doubles. Okay. Everything that Ben Simmons does for the team. But he doesn't have it. He doesn't have heart, Ant. I know this. I didn't meet him once. I know nothing about him personally, but watching him not go to the free throw line, he doesn't have heart. He doesn't have it. God, it drives me insane. It's year three. And he has only gotten better every single season, Ant. I'm giving you defensive player of the year voting from coaches, NBA head coaches. But no, he doesn't have it.
Is that amazing? Okay. I'm sure he's a great guy. Like Tastecake said, he's a great guy. He said, oh, he was a great dude. He goes, he just, you know, no faith in Ben.
I just love it. They'll say, oh, who cares about defense when he's compared, he's with names like Giannis, Kawhi, Rudy Gobert, and Marcus Smart. Now, I'm not saying that Ben Simmons is near the talent of Kawhi Leonard. I'm not saying that. But people will go, when he wins one of these awards, they'll say, oh, defense doesn't matter. They don't play defense in the NBA. He doesn't have it.
He doesn't have it. He will forever disappoint you.
That kills me.
Well, listen, I mean, we believe a certain way, right? Like, we understand, like, we believe that he's going to be a player. When were you disappointed? When were you disappointed? Has a player disappointed you to that ilk? Because I'll tell you, you're going to find this strange, or you might not believe me, but I was a huge Five fan. I defended Five on the air in the teeth. And people were nasty back then.
Oh, yeah.
All right? They were telling me to cut pepperoni on 9th Street. All right? What are you doing? Sports talk.
That's nice.
Let me tell you. I defended him to the hilt. But he ultimately disappointed me. Because he never grew and took the next step into greatness. He was very good, but he never took the next step into greatness.
Huh. Other players like that.
The guy that has disappointed you.
Well, I was, speaking of old school centers versus new wave of centers, I was so pumped for the Bynum thing. Now, he never played. Right?
Wow, what a disaster.
But
Mikey was talking about disasters.
Yeah.
And that was a disaster.
Total disaster. It forced you to go into the process.
And that's also, Doug Collins was goofy. Let's all pray for Andrew. We're like, what?
What?
You know what? We have a great call. You know the, you know Jerry L?
Yes.
All right. Jerry L's a great caller. Jerry L said he pulls up to the light, right? And next to him, lo and behold, is Andrew Bynum.
Okay.
And the windows are down.
Yes.
And he says something, if I remember correctly, he said, yo, Andrew, whatever. He something about, like, dude, you going to play or what? Like, what are you going to do? Everybody wanted him was to play. And He got nasty with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, dude.
Yeah, Andrew Bynum. Talk about a thief.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Talk about a raging thief. But that whole thing was a disaster. And Doug Collins was goofy. He lost it. Oh, no, another one. Are you ready for this, Andrew?
More Simmons hate.
Oh, my God. I told you to bean. My man, the Bean yesterday, Andy Bean, said he's nothing but Andre Iguodala. Nick from Collegeville, just like the Bean said, he's a better Iggy. Oh, man, that guy's crazy.
Come on.
Now, this is where these are old school basketball guys, right? And they don't appreciate the new school attributes. Forget about the three, right? He's not going to shoot the three. but he can't develop a mid-range game. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand all this Simmons hate.
There are so many people that have already wrote him off. They're like, yeah, there's no way. He's never going to learn. He thinks he's good enough as he is now.
Again, he was the Sixers' best player this year. Was he not?
Why they had a disappointing season.
Okay, well, maybe the big fella was a little bit more consistent and wanted to play a little bit more every night.
Right.
Maybe they would have had a better season. And by the way, they lost one time at home. Not like, you know, they were a bum team. Not for nothing. Man, they just hate. I just don't understand it.
It's constant hate with them. And until he wins and proves that he can win, that's never going to change.
I just don't understand it. I don't understand it.
It's year three. People want to, how come he can't do what Giannis does? Well, Giannis is in year eight. Ben's in year three.
Wow. All right. Lots to get to. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975 is how you reach us. Couple things on the docket. So we got the old school, new school, right? And I'm in a pretzel. You tell me, is it heresy that Tuna says Larry Bird, what'd you call him? Piker?
No, I just said Larry Bird wouldn't survive in this NBA.
Right. Which even I go, yo, dude, slow down a little bit. All right, but you got that.
He wouldn't be Larry Legend. He'd be Larry 11th man.
What?
It'd be Larry, you know.
Cue the birdie. What?
Larry, eighth man off the bench.
Larry Bird couldn't start today. Even I now have to ask you that.
If he's moving as slow as he was, and I know we're moving, we're saying, hey, you got to give him all the athleticism that's going on now.
You drop that into the 11th hour, man. We got to take a break. 610-632-0975. What? Wow. All right. That, and if you're an Eagles season ticket holder, I need to talk to you about not going to games. We got some open lines. You want to join us? Let's get it started in a big way. It's Cuz Radio with Chunas, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:26. Cuz Radio Tunis. Our 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. Hey, by the way, not to be a downer, but Spencer Dinwiddie says he's tweeted out that he's been in bed for the last 6 days. He's not feeling too good. He has contracted coronavirus, and he's not feeling too good, Junis.
Yeah, and there's, you know, the, oh, well, athletes, they won't get bothered by it.
Well. Yeah. You know, and he's a hell of a, by the way, he's a good ball player.
Yes, he is. He's
improved.
Improved and yeah. Has made himself into a player, and will, if he ever leaves Brooklyn, he'll find a team somewhere. Whether he's a starter or if he comes off the bench and gives you some points, sixth or seventh man, pretty good.
It is. You know, he can score. He can facilitate.
Yep.
A lot he can do.
That Brooklyn team's just messed up. You know, they got...
No, I know, but the fact that he's sick like that, that's scary. It's scary when you think about it. That's why we go to baseball, and they're not going to be bubbleized. So we're... You know, you see these raging numbers. How can they play baseball?
That's a good question, Ant.
Like, I could see the hockey guys. You're in Edmonton and Toronto and you're sequestered. But baseball guys are going to be home. How are you playing?
Yeah, and it's they're doing like
and
the,
you're doing road trips. You're around the country. Yeah, I know the travel's not is not extensive, but you know, 30 games you're away.
Yeah, and they're doing everything based off the honor system, right? Like, hey, you're not going to go do anything, right? Oh, of course not.
But you're still traveling, you know, a good bit. You're still going to travel a good bit. You're going to make what? You know, 10 road trips?
Something like that, yeah. I think they play. It's just, I wonder.
See, again, you're the hockey guys, you're in Edmonton, you're in Toronto, and you got team hotels, you know, and everything
just
is.
Just like the NBA, yeah.
Right, and everything's kind of like, all right, we're good. And by the way, you're in Edmonton and Toronto, and they're a lot better off than a lot of our states. And now you're going to be traveling? Like, look at the Phillies. You're going to go to a, now it's good here, thank God, knock on wood, but you're going to go to Florida twice. You're going to go to Miami and Tampa.
Yep.
And you're going to have to go down, you know, you're going to go to Baltimore, and you're going to go to D.C. and New York. And, you know,
it's
I don't know how to baseball. I just don't know how baseball does.
I think they're going to find any way to start playing. But basketball and hockey, I don't think we see, hey, this player that was at the hub contracted COVID-19 unless they went off campus and did something. I don't know. Baseball, you could see players midseason. That's why they have like a designated injured list in baseball for players that contract COVID-19. Because again, you're like you said, you're traveling, you're going city to city, you're not staying in one hub. So I'm not going to be shocked if baseball players start getting it mid-season. I don't think we will, if we do, it's going to be a very small amount of people in the NBA and NHL hubs that get it. Once play starts.
Yeah. Baseball, man. I don't know, dude.
They're playing.
Yeah, keep saying that. Let's go to where we at. Frankie! You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frankie!
I'm Frank, and I support the old head game. Oh, wait. Before I go on, I'm going to do a diatribe about the Benny. I got a great summer drink for you guys. My wife and I are in the islands, I don't know, years back. They were bringing out, check us out, Corona Light topped off with Bacardi Limon.
Wow.
Real.
Really? Yeah. Was it good?
Right. Yes. Yeah, thanks, Bernie. Bernie's in.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
Trust me.
I do trust you. When it comes to drinking and cocktails, something tells me, Frank, I'll trust you. Like you got the vibe of, yeah, I think he knows.
Yeah, four or five of those joints, aunt and the son. Hey, do me a favor.
Yes.
Can we have a 30-day moratorium on Ben hate, Carson hate? I mean, Nikki, I love your main ingredient of the show. Ben would flourish. It flourishes in today's game and yesterday's game. I don't care if he shoots a three ever. He'll develop a mid-range shot. All right. First of all,
I don't, you know what, Frank? I really don't understand why this, you know, shallow into his career.
Yeah.
That there's still all that frustration with him. When, listen, I get the fact that he's developed mid-range game, but I thought his scoring increased. He attacked. He was more, I thought, when it come to the offensive end and scoring points, that he was more aggressive with it, no?
Yeah, you want him to shoot threes or play shutdown D? Give me the long length D out top any day.
Yeah.
I don't know. And listen, I coach AAU. It's they either hoist threes or it's fast break. I think the three has ruined the game. I'm sorry, young balls, young bucks, whatever you call you guys. Less half court set, less post play. When you see a high low, they, you know, You could pick and roll, pick and pop, and they were doing it at mid-range back in the day. Because the NBA is just not as tactical in my viewpoint, Anthony.
Well, I agree with you when it comes to strategies. Because first and foremost, you're taking away the big man game or the post-up game.
Yes.
Trying to get guys, bigs, in foul trouble. Like, one of my beefs with the Sixers is that there are times when they would get other teams, because of their length, get other teams in foul trouble early, right? They could be feasting at the line. Instead, they're settling for jump shots for 10 minutes of the quarter.
Yes, and how about running your offense inside and out, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I do. I'm with you.
Oof, hold on. I got Hodge now.
You make me laugh.
My man.
You're a treasure, Frankie.
Thank you. So, well, you guys are awesome. My wife said, hey, give them a break today. And I was going to until I heard this Ben stuff, and then I had to go.
Listen,
off.
Frankie, you never have to give us a break. We love you. We love hearing from you, all right? You
I
never have
you
to
guys.
Worry about it. You be safe, and we will make sure that we taste that drink, all right?
Cool de la,
thank
my
you,
man.
Thank you, Frankie. Frankie's cool. He is cool de la, Frankie.
Yes, he is. Now, I'm not saying
what
parts of the old school game aren't good and could be utilized. Like, he's right about the high-low. The Sixers actually do the high-low a lot, especially with
Ben's in the dunker spot.
Yeah, with Ben in the dunker spot, you know, Tobias gets it down to him. Or sometimes, you know, Embiid's getting it down to Ben, or Ben's getting it down to Embiid. We've seen the Sixers do it a lot this year. I'm with him with, you know, running the inside, you know, the offense inside and out. We talk about it all the time. Joel Embiid does lead the league in post-ups. The problem is with the Sixers, they don't have enough three-point shooting to do that.
Yeah.
They don't. I'm sure they did a lot of that last year with J.J. Redick. Now, they did a lot of the dribble handoffs. They did a lot of the Embiid has the ball in his hand, top of the key,
yeah,
hands it off to Redick and screens the guy that's following. They did that a ton of times last year. At length, to the point where if you're an opposing team, you know what they're going to do, and you can try to find a way to stop that late in games. But when you have guys like Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, Ben Simmons, and Al Horford around Joel Embiid, you can't really run the offense inside out.
Yeah.
Because who's he going to kick it out to?
Yeah, well, that's a huge problem. My biggest beef in how the offense is run, and again, I still think the game changes in the playoffs.
Yes, it does.
I think the game slows down in the playoffs. So, to me, you got to use your length, and you have to attack. Like, I think you can attack. It's funny. If Ben has the ball, and they're sagging, well, that's space for him to attack the rim. Right? Like, if I'm giving you, now all of a sudden I'm giving away leverage if I'm not on top of you.
Yeah, you got a head start.
Because
full steam ahead.
Because I can't cut you off. And now you're just giving me, I can go at you and go attack the rim. And I want to see that. And I thought I saw more of that this year than I saw from him in the previous 2 years.
Yes.
So to me, that's part of his evolution. Tony in Mayfair, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony!
So, what's going on?
How are you, Joe?
I'm doing good. Now, I'm just sitting here listening. The Ben Simmons thing, and you guys are going to disagree with me. It just drives me nuts. I don't get... Now, you were just making points on how you want to play inside out with Embiid, and Embiid got the most post-ups, but then Andrew just blamed everybody besides Ben. You know, the guys are sitting out there not shooting, you know, they're shooting threes, but they're not hitting them. That's one thing. But isn't that Ben's fault? Doesn't Ben have to hit a shot? Doesn't Ben just have to throw up a shot? I mean,
all right. So let's examine. Now, I would never say that he doesn't have to shoot because, yeah, I mean, there are times when you got to shoot mid range. I don't think he needs to shoot threes.
Oh, I can understand that. Yeah,
but I would agree with you that, yeah, he does need to shoot. He needs to put that to become a top five player in the league. He's got to be able to shoot and score, and teams have to pay to actually guard him. So yes. However, with this Sixer team right now, just going into the playoffs, right? Assuming he's not going to shoot, you have enough to play bully ball and attack in the rim because, again, doesn't mean that Ben's going to be in the post up spot all the time.
Right.
Joe can shoot it. Right? He actually is a gifted shooter. So he's got a perimeter game. So you can get away with that
And then,
right, well, that's my
Harris
other thing
has
is
to be able to shoot it too.
Well, Embiid, and then, you know, every time there's a Sixer game the next day, you know, Embiid standing around the 3-point line. I think that's part of the offense that Brett puts us in because of Ben. His only way of offense is attacking the rim, which is fine with me. But then he's been doing it a lot better lately. Well, when they were playing, but he goes up soft sometimes with these finger rolls. Like, why don't you jam it on somebody like Giannis does?
Yeah, no, I hear it. And there's times when I do want him, and I don't think he's been, I think he was, and you admitted that just now, but like this year he's been going up strong, but I do agree he's got to flush it even more.
Yeah, throw it down on somebody. And the whole comparison between Giannis and, I understand where you're coming, but Giannis wasn't a first overall pick.
Well, that doesn't mean, where he was picked doesn't have anything to do with it, who he is.
Well, of course, but every year it's, well, he's got to start doing mid-range jump shots, and, well, we'll give him one more year. He's still young. Well, and then that next year comes, and then it's the next year.
But it's not the next year. He's been in the league 2.5 seasons. He's only played. First year he was hurt, missed the whole year. He played, this is his third season, and it was cut short by an injury in February.
Right. Again, understandable. But we're talking about our first overall pick who won't even look to shoot the ball. That's what bothers me.
But he scored. What do you average this year? Right? Forget about shooting from the perimeter. It all starts with becoming more aggressive offensively.
Absolutely.
I don't disagree with you. I just, in the big scope, I'm telling you, it's not as long as you think it is. Like you say, oh my God, it's been this year and this year and this year and this year. He's only played 2.5 years.
All right. So I understand that you guys are a fan of when will it be for you guys that it's like, all right, now Ben, come on now. You gotta shoot up in mid range. You gotta figure something out.
I it's funny because I get asked that question a lot, but well, when are you going to hold him? Listen, I think he needs to shoot the ball now, but
right.
Again, that doesn't mean he doesn't impact the game in a million other ways. So what?
Right.
So when you say when, what's the recourse? You want to get rid of him? Because I don't.
I think he's good at everything else that he does for the game. I think he does hinder our offense. That's just me. If you told me I can bring in a guy who does shoot the three well and plays a solid point guard position, then I would take that. I would not.
I think you're nuts. But I love you, Tony. Thank you, buddy. I got to run. It's Cuz Radio with Chunis, and we'll continue the conversation. It's a great one right here. Oh, jeez. I'm on the old time. Poor Tony. I rushed him off because I thought we had to go to take a break. My bad. Tony, if you're thinking that you want to trade him for a point guard that is more of a combo, I think you're nuts. I think he's an anomaly. He's 6'11", who runs the floor like a gazelle, who's strong, who could play five position guard every 1 through 5. And again, whoever point guard you get that can shoot a jump shot isn't going to be half the facilitator that he is. And maybe if the offense was structured differently, it would be, he would grow a little bit. But people have this whole thing, and I think it's patience. And they go back to it. You heard him. How many times did he say, well, after this year and this year and the year after and the year after? What are you talking about? It's been 2.5 years.
2.5 seasons. 2.5. They didn't even finish this one. 2.5 seasons.
Right.
And he's only improved in each year.
Exactly. So,
and listen,
why are you so in a rush to move on?
I don't know.
Instead of cultivating him.
His first point that he made, and he's not wrong, but the first point that he makes and that everybody makes, it immediately goes to the lack of a jump shot. Right? He says, oh, well, Andrew was blaming everyone around Ben Simmons. Actually, no, I was blaming the Embiid. You can't really run inside out because nobody's really hitting threes. He's right that Ben Simmons not having a jump shot kind of makes the offense that Brett Brown wants to run a little more difficult. But that's the problem. It's the offense that Brett Brown's trying to run.
And again, beyond Simmons, they're not built for that because they don't have great shooters. Like, I don't know if you did have, pick any, you know, always talk about.
Go back to Reddick.
Right, but go back to a better Reddick. Go back to, I don't know, C.J. McCollum. I always talk about C.J. McCollum, right? If you put him next to him, now where's the spacing at?
Right.
I don't know, right? Is it, it's different, right?
Yes.
You put Clay Thompson next to him.
Huh?
Where's the spacing at?
Yeah, it's much different, and you don't have that style of offense. We talked about it, I think it was late last week, or it might have been Monday, when I mentioned the pick and roll game with Ben as the big man, right? With Tobias has the ball in his hand, or Josh Richardson has the ball in his hand. Brett Brown ran that twice, and it worked both times, but he would go away from it. There are ways to implement Ben Simmons into the offense without just, oh, he doesn't shoot. Yeah, he doesn't shoot. And his unwillingness to shoot is still a problem. I agree. But you can't just, it can't always come back to the Ben Simmons jump shot. And that's where people who are anti-Ben, that's the first thing they go to.
Yes.
It's the lack of jump shot and it.
And here's the other problem that we're talking about. Because it's amazing because all roads lead back to Simmons. We got in this conversation about basketball, old school, new school, and it's all roads go back to Ben. And quite frankly, listen, I love both of them. I do. I don't want to choose. This is not Sophie's choice to, between Simmons and Embiid. I love the both of them. I'm fans of both of them. I want them both to stay. I like both of them. The big guy needs to get his head in the game, though, night in, night out. Like, Ben's got his deal, and he's got to shoot, I agree. But Joe's got to get in the game.
You can't get me out. I'm not having fun.
He floats around, and, you know, come on, dude. Come on, big man. I need you.
You always, how many times have we heard him say, I want to be the best?
They can't win unless Embiid's himself dominating, and he can. We've seen it. He's got to dominate, or they can't win, no matter when. And I, quite frankly... Here's my question to you guys. What do you have more faith in? That Simmons develops a mid-range game or Embiid brings it every night?
Simmons.
What's that say?
Because Embiid's been honest with us saying, unless it's a game that I think I need to be a part of. He said it. Remember he said it after the Christmas Day game.
Does Joe bring it every night in the playoffs?
He should. Unless he has gastroenteritis.
He didn't last year.
Because he got the gastro. He had to go to the concert.
So, again, you can blame Simmons for a lot, for the shooting thing. And when it comes to that offense. But there's also that other piece of it. And the big man needs to, because the big man's a tremendous talent. And you can't mope. He's got a propensity to be moper. Ryan in Boyertown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Yo, Ryan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, it's actually Brian. But
oh, I'm sorry, Brian.
Whatever the heck you want.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
Hey, so I'm only 30, and I enjoy watching today's game a lot more than watching the old game. But when I play basketball, I cannot stand this new game. So when I was 16, 17, 18, it was all about break you down, go to the hole, go to the rack, let your big man finish. But now I go down to the court playing with the high school kids, and all they do is stand around the three-point line. And it's like, that's all anyone wants to do now is just shoot the ball. But I will say it did make this new school game make the big men now, they can dribble. And that's something when I was that age, they couldn't do. So I think it's making better athletes, but for me, it's at a high school college level when you're playing, I think you kind of ruin the game.
Yeah, I agree. Like, listen, I'm with you because I like breakdown. I do like breakdown basketball. I do. But again, dump it down low times. It should be a little bit of everything. That's the beauty of the game is when you get some great shooting. You get guys breaking you down off the dribble. You get the big in a post up. All that is pretty fast break. If you look at the Sixers, how they should play is they should play like the Showtime Lakers. When you get a chance to run out, and then when you're in a half-court set, you want to use your post-up guys.
See, that's how our offense was in high school when I played high school ball. It was you run down the court, set up, work the ball around the perimeter, your big man flashes on the block, look for him down low, and I think the Sixers don't do that enough for me. But that's just my opinion. I mean, they are a quick team when they hit the break, but
well,
I don't know.
They don't have the shooting to play, Bri, right? Like, they don't have...
Yeah. They don't have the... I see what you're saying. Yeah,
like, you know, like, listen, let me ask you this, because you know the game. Bri, if you're built differently than every other team in the league, right? Nobody has the length that they have.
Uh-huh.
Well, shouldn't you play to your strengths and not try to play to what you don't have?
That's what frustrated me most. When they were building this team, we thought it was going to be bully ball. That's what we saw against the Celtics. And it was so exciting. And then every game after that, it was like, what are we doing?
Right.
Even that game that we beat the Bucks. How many threes did we hit that game?
Yes. Christmas Day game. It was a front runner game. Now, there was one other game that was late in the season that spoke to me and gave me a little insight into their potential. Do you agree that the Clippers game, they didn't hit a lot of threes that game. They played a really good floor game.
But why don't we play that all the time?
I know. I hear you.
That's what's frustrating about this team. But you guys have a good day.
You too, Bri. Thank you, buddy. I'll ask you this question off of that conversation. Is it just because the regular season is a grind and you physically can't play like that every night?
I think that
Brett is also trying to tinker. Like, he got a new team again, and he's trying to tinker, and he's trying to experiment. We talk about each game being almost a lab experiment. So you're running in different options, different guys, trying to get a feel for it.
Brett's problem was he said that he would have it figured out by the new year. Remember that? After the press conference, there was a bad loss. He said, guys, give me till the end of this calendar year of 2019, and I will have figured this out. And he did it. Quite frankly, they played worse.
Yeah, they did.
After the change into 2020. But you're right. I mean, you can't play bully ball for 82 games, in my opinion, because you could have done that 30 years ago, but you can't do that anymore because of how fast other teams play, right? I mean, you look at, we always use the Houston Rockets because they're kind of like the crazy team that, I mean, they're still 20 seconds on the shot clock by the time they're shooting, right? So they're so fast that I don't know if you can do bully ball. Now, you can change, we watched the playback yesterday, Villanova Georgetown, they controlled the clock. So maybe you can do it all 82, but I think it's such a grind, like you said, that you can't do it.
Yeah, is it worth it? Right? Ask that question. Is it worth the taxing element to play like that 82 games? My guess is Brett said no. And he's probably right.
The only problem is you'd have to do it sometime so that you can be ready come playoff time. Because if that's going to be your strategy come playoff time, you can't be going into game one with a totally new strategy.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. I want, we got some open lines, 610-632-0975. A lot of people on the line that want to talk different things about baseball, restart baskets. I want some hockey stuff as well. Playback is coming up shortly.
I have something to complain about that one too.
Really? All right. Penn State, Georgia. For all you Penn State people. 610-632-0975. Cuz Radio with you. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 11:57, Cuz Radio with Chunas. Coming up 1 o'clock, an hour from now, we want to do our Cuzzo trivia game. And today we're going to do jersey numbers. So we're having some fun with jersey numbers. So if you're a trivia man, we're cataloging the smartest 4-for-4, 5-for-5 people in the area. Someday we're going to have a contest with all you guys. We're having some fun. Every Tuesday and Thursday during the week, we're going to do 4-for-4 trivia. Cuzzo trivia.
And today we're just doing Wednesday because tomorrow I'm off for the Vinnie Bones funeral. So we'll have some fun doing it today. We have the 4th of July coming up and the whole thing. You got in the playback something that irritates you.
Yes. Yeah. It's just absolutely, it's ridiculous. I'm not going to spoil it.
All right.
But I go, are you kidding me? Because I just finished it. And I was like, what? What are you doing? So, yeah, you should definitely listen to the playback today, 12:30.
All right. I like it. And then afterwards, you know who's going to join us? Who was at the game? One Mikey Miss.
He was at the 83 Sugar Bowl.
He was there.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He was covering the game.
So maybe he can talk about what I just freaked out about to you during the break.
Yeah, that's great.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.